start with a declaration. Surrender. Give us a heart of submission. Show us where we are in this process, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
So that we can go yet farther.
Yes.
For the fields are white to harvest.
Yes.
And the laborers are few. And we hear you calling for the laborers. And you are all so eager to send us, God.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
In Jesus' name.
Jesus' name. Amen.
Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5. All they knew in the Old Testament was sacrifice, because all they so they couldn't worship you in spirit and truth, Father, with what they had. But Jesus knew the essence of it. And when he came, he said, let's read verse 5.
Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared for me.
From me. Verse 6,
in burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, thou hast had no pleasure.
Then
said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God.
Above
when we say, sacrifice and offering, went to take care of his physical need and theirs. And then the woman came,
yeah,
and he forgot all of it, because his need was to do the will of the master, and he offered her living water.
Yeah.
That's what we want. Yeah. We want that living water. To worship with the Holy Spirit, because we they would yield to follow after what they had heard, or would they just block it? Surrender at Appomattox Courthouse meant two armies stopped fighting each other. The North and the South stopped fighting each other, the war that was between us. Hopefully, when we became born again, we surrendered and stopped fighting against God.
Amen.
But God, if that surrender isn't complete, to the extent that that isn't complete, I won't even assume that it's complete. It was a step taken in faith. But God, you want total and complete surrender. Because Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. He is not on this earth anymore. And he is waiting to see his enemies be made his footstool. Is that going to be through anybody other than his church? It has to be through us. We will bring him that glory by walking in his spirit and not fulfilling the lust of the flesh, by walking by the Spirit of God, by surrendering totally. Submission is coming under the mission of the person we're following. A surrender does not necessarily mean submission. After the surrender at Appomattox, some people didn't even know the war was over. And I think some of us, when we become Christian, don't even know the war is over. Because we're walking in the flesh and our minds aren't renewed. That renewal process will begin. And then, so we know that the surrender has to be ongoing because the renewal is a process. Submission is another step. And it is what makes us pliable in the hands of the potter. And it is what makes us vessels of honor. If we're not submitted, how can he mold us and shape us into the vessels of honor that we must be if he is going to move through us? Last week, Pastor Tayo talked about Jim guarding our minds, our mouths, and our motives. Lord God, that so much of walking in the Spirit requires that we even be aware of what we're thinking, that we be aware of what we're speaking. And then, deeper than both of those things is being aware of why we're thinking it and speaking it. So, Lord, I thank you that you inspired the prince from Africa with guard your mouth, your mind, and your motives. Thank you, Lord. You've called us to be vessels, and you're building us.
Yes, Lord.
We want to be built.
Yes,
gold,
Lord.
Silver,
yes, Lord.
And precious stones.
Yes, Lord.
On no foundation except Jesus Christ.
Yes, Lord.
We don't want the wood, hay, and stubble that's in us. We're not going to assume that there's none there. We're asking you, God,
yes, Lord,
to burn it up here and now.
Burn it up.
The Catholics get to wait. No, they don't. But they think they're waiting for that to happen in purgatory. And if it doesn't happen here, it isn't happening. We want to have that fire come down from the altar that Elijah called. And we want the bowl to be burned up. We want the water to be seven truths to encounters with Christ.
Amen.
And the overall pattern of the activity of God, according to Scripture, is that God is at work in the world.
Yes.
And that God speaks to his servants.
Yes.
So he reveals to mankind what he is doing. He does nothing except he tells his prophets. He revealed, he works purposefully. He has goals. It's not willy-nilly. He has a purpose to fulfill in everything that he does, in everything that he says, in every life that he's graced to live on this earth. He has a purpose to fulfill. So how would we think that he only spoke then and not today? How would we think that he only spoke to Moses and Elijah and not to Ebony and all of us, each and every one of us? He's speaking. That's why we say, "Speak, Lord, thy servant
hears." Yeah, amen.
The ground scripture for that is John 5, 17, 19, and 20. If you want to look at John 5, whoever gets it, just go ahead and read those verses.
But Jesus answered them, "My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Therefore the Jews sought him more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these that ye may marvel."
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And Jesus himself said, "Greater works than these will you do, because I go to my Father." So just get used to the idea. And start stepping out in faith and expecting God to answer. Don't be holding back because you're afraid he doesn't answer. Step out in faith because you expect that he's going to honor his word. Thank you, Lord. When God had something to do in Noah's day, he let Noah do. He let Noah know about it. We want to get saved, and then we want to tell God what we want him to do for us. That's the basic pattern of the Christian walk. This is what I want. I'm going to name it. I'm going to claim it. And it's going to happen. God didn't reveal it. When God reveals something to you because you've been seeking him and positioning yourself to hear it, then when he says it, it's yours and mine. But it's not just it's there and I expect it to happen and I don't do any work to see what it is that will make it happen. Don't have a background in soul searching and seeing what positions us for the promises of God. Let's look at Noah. Let's look at Genesis chapter 6. to these because when I just listened to the teaching myself, I thought, prove it to me. I want to see it. I want to see it. I want this. I don't want to be taking somebody else's word for this.
Right.
I want to see it with my own eyes, say it with my own mouth, and so that it's mine now, and just not just Henry Blackaby's.
Yeah.
Genesis 6, verse 6. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. These are the generations, verse 9, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. He wasn't taking Noah out. There was a righteous man, and he was making a way for that righteous man. And that man was not going to just get a blank check. He had to hear from God.
Yeah.
He had to have God revealed himself to Noah.
Yeah.
He revealed to him what his activity was in the earth. And then he used Noah to warn the rest of the people of what was coming. It's not all about us.
Amen.
It's all about God and what he's doing, his activity
right.
in
yeah.
the earth. For the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them on the earth. Now, Noah, verse 14, make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without. Details of how he was going to do this. God doesn't speak to us once, and then it's said and done, and we're on our own to figure it out. In fact, if we go that route, we will have Ishmael after Ishmael after Ishmael. We, like David, we have to go back, even if we're fighting the same people, even if it's just half a year later, and it's the same enemy. How do we do it this time?
Yeah.
God.
Yeah.
Because then we will have good success.
Yes, amen.
Let's look at Abraham. What was God doing on the earth when he spoke to Abraham? Genesis chapter 12. Could Noah have known that there was going to be a flood if God hadn't revealed that to him? There's no way. There's no way he could have known. If we think that all we have to do is go to work, and go to church, and, you know, in between there, make some money, and we're not really connecting with God, we're not going to know when God is even speaking. And we're certainly not going to know what our part in it, because when he talks, we're going to just brush it off. Abraham, chapter 12 of Genesis, verse 1. Now the Lord had said to Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house and unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation. And I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Verse 4. Abraham responded.
Yeah.
God revealed himself, told him what to do. Abraham, looking back on this, we might have not thought it was a big deal for him to leave Ur of Chaldees. It was a big deal to travel in those days. You didn't just go get a plane ticket and fly somewhere. It was a big deal to leave your family and to just walk out on faith. Do we know when it's God speaking? Because if it's not God speaking and we do something rash or presumptuous, we're going to be on our own. We have to know that it's God speaking. And these men knew. And I submit the more focused you are on that. So verse 4, so Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. So if you happen to be 75, it's not too late to get started. God of thy father, the God of because when Isaiah was in the throne room of God, he said, "Woe is me, I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell among a people of unclean lips." And when he came to Jeremiah, he said, "I can't go, I'm just a child." And by the time he got back to Moses, Moses said, "I can't speak." No, we can't. But it isn't us, it's God. It's God. Verse 7, "And the Lord said," that's what we're talking about, "and the Lord said," from Genesis to Revelation, God speaks.
Yes.
He speaks clearly,
yes,
and he speaks unmistakably.
Yeah.
Yes.
Amen.
Great. "I have surely seen the affliction of my people." Do you think God doesn't see? He saw. "I have seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters." God has eyes to see, he has ears to hear, and he knows what's going on in our lives. And he has something to say about it. "For I know their sorrows." Verse 8, "And I am come down to deliver them." Who's come down to deliver them? God. God. "Out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them out of that land into a good land, and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites." And I'm going to kick them all out. All you have to do is be strong and very courageous. I'm going to get rid of them all. Showing you who I am, and I'm telling you the activity that I'm doing in the earth. Join me in it. He doesn't tell us about it until he's ready to do it, until he's ready to have us involved in it. Yes, there were 20 years after the time that Abraham was told he was going to be the father of many nations, and the time that it was accomplished, but his heart was a preparer, and he had to take steps to bring that to happen. God was establishing his line, his chosen people through Abraham. That's why it came to Abraham. John 10, verse 7. Moving in the world. He is purposeful, and when he wants to work in his world, he lets his people know. The revelation that he gives to us is his invitation to join him. Them again. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door." presumptuous sin. And in presumptuous sin, we're thinking something is the voice of God, but it's a familiar spirit that has been God, that has been the idol in our lives. And this voice that we're so familiar with, and we just know that that has to be God, is really at counter purposes with what God is doing. It's really going to trip us up. And until we're completely surrendered and submitted to God's will, we have to examine the voice that we hear and make sure that it's God. Because this voice will speak. This voice spoke to the children of Israel when they were supposed to go up into the promised land, and at God's command, they wouldn't go. And they were bound and determined that they wouldn't go. Till finally, God said, okay, everything you've spoken, your carcasses are going to fall, and your children are going to go in. And then they presumed to go in when it wasn't God. We can't presume to go in when it isn't God. And a familiar spirit would do that to us. I just wanted to put that out there because not every voice that speaks scripture, not every voice that we hear is God. And that's why we need our brothers and sisters to show us where we might not be surrendered, where we might not be submitted, so that we can hear clearly from God when he speaks. I'd like to go through a couple of examples of the crisis encounter during Jesus' life. How he met the crisis and how the disciples met it. And what his vision was and what their vision was, and how that colored what they did with what was revealed to them. It's really, really fascinating because we make many of the same mistakes that the disciples made. And that's why we have to grow into the fullness of the stature of Jesus Christ. Jesus' baptism and the beginning of his public ministry in Mark chapter 9, verses 9 to 15. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in Jordan. And straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens open and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. Here comes the voice. And there came a voice from heaven saying, thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. The announcement. You're going from your private life to your public life.
Yeah.
Crisis. And immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness. This Jesus Christ was going to be the covering for all these disciples. They weren't going to get it while he was on this earth. And he had to conquer the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life.
Yes.
He had to conquer the motivation, the wood, hay, and stubble for the disciples in order to pull it off. Because if they could pull him into it, they were defeated. If he fell for it, how could he deliver them? And immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness. And he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered unto him. Verse 14 of Mark chapter 1. Now, after John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe." After that crisis, after he lined himself up, after he made the adjustment in his life from the private Jesus to the public Jesus, from the little part of his domain to having to cover all these disciples and showing that he could take it, then he comes out of there in power. And he's calling disciples to him, and they're coming and they're seeing this is the Messiah. This is the kingdom we've been waiting for. Let's go follow him. And they see miracle and miracle and sign and wonder. And they're all gung-ho, and he says, "Well, you know what? You're going to have to leave them, but I'll take care of you." So they leave their fishing nets, and they go off with Jesus. And everything is hunky-dory for a while. Jesus takes the heat for them. They don't have to bear the heat. Thank you. download while the disciples are sleeping. And then they went their merry way, and that went on for 3 years.
Yeah.
That way. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for bringing us into your way.
Very well.
Motivations behind people's decisions, and we see what happens when we're confronted with a word from God that doesn't result in signs and wonders and healings, but results in us taking up our cross and dying. The disciples were avoiding that the whole way through. Their vision of the kingdom of God, ultimately, they had the same vision God had, the kingdom here on earth. But they were way too far ahead. I heard a basketball coach once say to a team that was on track to go to the finals, forget about the finals. You've got this town and this town and this town to beat before you get there. Focus on what you have to do today.
Amen.
To get where you're going.
Amen.
It's not just going to be an airlift.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Luke 9, verse 1. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils to cure diseases. Verse 2. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Verse 6, and they departed and went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. They're all in. They're gung-ho. Jesus does this, and we're doing it too. Hallelujah. The kingdom of God has come to the earth. Verse 20, he said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Peter, answering, said, the Christ of God. You nailed it, Peter. You hit the nail on the head. You had a revelation from God. You spoke it forth. You are right. And then, verse 22. The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be slain and be raised the third day. Woo! What a switch. Go to Matthew chapter 16. Death and persecution. And look at what he says next. 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he gain the whole world and lose his soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? If we have the wrong vision or the wrong motivation, look at the motivation of the disciples. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. I'm going to be on your right hand or your left hand. I've got people multiplying loaves, barley loaves, and fishes to feed. I've got everything I want. That's their motivation. When we haven't conquered, when we haven't conquered our flesh, we will mistake the voice of God and will rebuke God and will miss him when he tells us to die to something.
Yes.
Oh, surely you don't want. Surely you don't need. But he does. He does. Come to the Transfiguration. Luke 9, 28 through 36. And it came to pass about eight days after these things, he took Peter and John and James and went up to a mountain to pray. He's praying, they're sleeping. And he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistening. They're sleeping through it. They do not hear the word of the voice of God because they are carnal. 30. And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elias, who appeared in glory and spake of his decease. That's a hard word. Sometimes there are words from God that are hard words. It will create a crisis of faith when that word comes.
This is true.
And if we will adjust to it, he will bring us through it in victory.
Yeah.
But that adjustment is critical.
Yeah.
It's essential.
Yes, it is.
Verse 32. But Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep, say flesh. And when they were awake, they finally wake up. They saw his glory. Here we are, the glory days are back.
Yeah.
We missed the dying. We're back to the glory.
Uh-oh.
And the two men that stood with him. 33. And it came to pass as they departed from him. Peter said, okay, this whole thing is blowing over now. And Peter says to Jesus, good master, it is good for us to be here. And let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. Not knowing what he said. Not knowing what he said. Completely misses the word because he's sleeping. And now out of his confusion and bewilderment, he speaks hogwash. Verse 34. While he thus spake, while he's blabbering, there came a cloud and overshadowed them. Uh-oh. Now they're gonna hear. And they feared as they entered the cloud. And there came a voice out of the cloud saying, this is the revelation, this is my beloved son, hear him. And when the voice was passed, Jesus, that voice did not repeat was not the same as Jesus' vision. They're in the same place at the same time, but they are light years apart as far as encountering God is concerned. God, let us have encounters with you, real you. Not our own imaginations, really, really you, the hard things and the good things, and let us believe them all. 40, and I besought his disciples to cast, now, here comes, remember when they were sent out, that they healed the sick, they just did miracles when he sent them out on their own. Now we're in a different season. This is a different season, and they can't cast the demon out of this child, and they don't understand why, because it always worked before when they did it. 40, and I besought thy disciples to cast him out, and they could not. And Jesus answering said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long will I suffer you? How long will I be with you and suffer you? He is fit to be tied. He is sick and tired of all this stuff. He is frustrated. Bring thy son hither. And as he was yet coming, the devil threw him down and tear him. And Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit and healed the child and delivered him again to his father. 43. And they were all amazed at the power of God. Wow. Wow. They're amazed that he could do something they couldn't do. But while they wondered, everyone at all things Jesus did, he said unto his disciples, get this into your thick skull. Let these things sink down into your ears. For the Son of Man, it shall be delivered into the hands of men. But they understood not his saying, and it was hid from them, that they perceived it not, and they feared to ask him of that saying.
Wow.
Jesus reiterates the hard word, but they're not hearing it. They can't hear it, because they heard a word back there that said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And they can't hear any more than that, because that lined up with their vision. This wasn't lining up. So we don't follow this. Then there arose a reasoning among them, which of them should be greatest. What does that have to do with Jesus dying and rising again? It has nothing to do with it. It has to do with their vision. They're imposing their vision in the face of Jesus. Oh, but they're hiding. Because they know very well this isn't what they're supposed to be talking about. God help us. God help us. Father, open the eyes of our understanding that we may know when you were speaking, what you were speaking, that it is. And that we may surrender completely and totally to your will for our lives. After that incident, Jesus set his face steadfastly to Jerusalem. He had the same crisis. And after all, he was going to bear the brunt of it. And he set his face steadfastly to Jerusalem. And they're arguing who is the greatest. When we have an encounter with God, he wants us to go from where we are to where he is, so that he can complete his activity in us and through us.
Move
now. Move now, that song. Move now. Whatever was on Moses' agenda when the revelation came, he had to change. positioned himself right down the middle of the activity of God. And now, after making the adjustment, Moses was in a relationship with God such that God could do his mighty work. God spoke, Moses obeyed, and he experienced God working mightily. Out of obedience, experience with God. Hearing isn't enough. God is not our servant who needs to adjust his activities to fit our plans. If we will not submit, God will allow us to follow our own devices. However, we will never experience what God wanted to do on our behalf, nor through us. Father, I give myself away.
Yes.
So you